Hi, this is Steve Robbins, host of the Get It Done Guys, quick and dirty tips to work less and do more. Joining me today is New York Times bestselling author Byron Katie, whose new book is Who Would You Be Without Your Story? Today we're going to be discussing how to hear and accept criticism. You can find me on the web at getitdone.quickanddirtytips.com, and you can find Katie at thework.com. And now, onward and upward. Today, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about criticism.
Good.
When I was at the school with you, one of the things that really blew me away was your whole approach to criticism and how to hear it and what to do with it. And I thought this is something that people really should hear, because we hear a lot, especially in the business world, about learning how to give criticism, and we almost never hear anything about learning how to receive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that some of the concepts that you gave us and some of the tools have really just incredibly deeply changed the way that I approach criticism, and I was wondering if you could share that with us.
Well, first, you know, as far as criticism, I can say that if I'm hearing it from the student position, and I'm always in the presence of a teacher, and I realize that, then when they come at me with what sounds like a criticism, actually, I can hear immediately that it's not, that it's something that's going to serve me. For example, if someone says, you know, this thing happened, and it's all your fault. Katie, it's all your fault. Then rather than attack them, and this is where I have learned defense is the first act of war. And we think defense and justification is just, you know, is some kind of tool that's helpful, and it's not. It is where the war begins. So someone says, Katie, you are guilty. You know, it's your fault. And so in that moment, as a student, my mind opens. Rather than attack and say, that's not true, I had no part of it. In fact, you know, you were a part of it. Maybe I did some of it, but, you know, it's really your fault, or it's Joe's fault, or it's Susan's fault, or I listened to blah, 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 all this. There's no responsibility in it. And it's attack the moment we defend. So if someone says to me, Katie, it's all your fault, or it's your fault, as a student, again, my mind opens. Anything less than that is unintelligent. It's violent, hurtful, and confusing, and we stay lost in it. So to open my mind to, it's my fault, it's all my fault, sounds like, you know, I really want to take a look at this. And while I'm doing it, I need your help. You know, show me where I'm off. Or I might say, you know, the truth is, I can see it. I did it. You know, at the time, when I look at what I was believing, you know, I can see why I did it. And you know, you know, how can I make it right? You know, I did it. So let's get together and see how we can make this right. I need your help. And then if they say you're fired, then I can, you know, open my mind to that and say, you know, actually, that's kind. I'm not qualified for this job. I need a job where I don't have to dread going to work because it's over my head. See, that's just one scenario. But even being fired is a gift. So if someone says, Katie, it's your fault, my mind can open and I can ask them to join in with me to see, you know, on where I'm off, and I can learn from that, I can grow from that, and if they don't fire me, or I don't lose my company if I'm the owner, then I have all of this information that helps me, prepares me for the next step. And there's nothing more powerful than self-realization, than realization, enlightenment to where I err. But as long as I'm denying it, I'm living with a secret underworld going on in me, and I have to be vigilant and protect it so people don't discover that, you know, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty. So living out of the closet through criticism, for example, if someone says, you know, I was working in San Quentin one day doing the work with some men, and there was the most beautiful African-American man there that finally I asked the group to criticize me, and they were very frightened to do it. And so I continued to invite them, and he said, I'll do it. And he was sitting all alone over. He was very angry, sitting all alone in the back of the room. And he said, I'll do it, you know, this apparently bitter man. And he said, you are old, you are ugly, you are, and he was going for the way I look. And I was becoming, you know, fuller and fuller and fuller, you could say, happier, expanding, growing. I mean, he didn't say one word about the way I looked and who I was that wasn't honest. And so when he was through, I was able to thank him and say, what would you do? You know, what do you suggest? You know, here I am. I'm a 65-year-old woman, and you know, what do you see? And he said, really? And I said, yes. And he said, dump the gray hair, dump those glasses, get contacts. Your clothes are a mess. They're not up to date. I mean, he went on and on from the top of my head to my toes. This, you know, I was realizing, my goodness, you know, that's a whole new way to live. Now I've got an option. He was absolutely right. And as it turns out, it wasn't worth it to me. And if I ever want to step into a whole other idea, I mean, can you imagine what this man could do? I mean, he'd be just an amazing consultant for how to look good in the world and hip and everything, if he were not in prison. And of course, he's in prison because probably someone judged him, and he defended himself, started a war, someone went at him, someone got killed, hurt, whatever it is, and because they were believing their thoughts rather than opening their minds to the judgment, you know, we end up in jail, or we end up angry. Like, for example, if our partner says, you are what? What's a criticism?
Oh, you know what? You're never on time, and you always make us late for things.
Okay, so you know, if my partner said that to me, I'd say, you know, and I'd get honest. I'd open my mind and say, you know, I can see that. You know, what can we do that's different? Maybe an alarm. We could set an alarm. I know, my phone. You know, I carry it a lot. We could set an alarm. We could, you know, or would you mind reminding me, and we'll make an agreement that when you do, that I'll really hear you. And, but you see where I'm going with this, Steve? There is nothing that cannot be worked out.
Well, now, what happens if you hear them and you go inside and find out, and it doesn't seem true to you? So what if they say, we're always late and it's always your fault, and you go inside and...
Oh, it's just, you know, it's so simple. You know, it's the truth that sets us free. And if it's true, I own it, that sets me free. If it's not true, I own it, that sets me free. For example, you know, I hear you, sweetheart, and it's not my experience. It's not my experience that I'm always, you know, that I'm never on time and I hold us back. But you know, I'm really open to it. I'm going to watch and see and catch things like that, be more aware. And it's just not my experience. You have examples for me. Then he can give me examples that can really open me up to where I'm blind.
So you really are taking very much a student approach. You're looking to him as your teacher.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh, my goodness, yes. It's like those people who criticize me give me the pieces of me that I've been denying. And as long as I'm in denial, how can I be free? How can this amazing, clear mind have a chance to live if I'm busy believing things that doesn't give that clear mind a chance to show itself, to live out of.
One of the things that you mentioned, you said that defense is the first act of war.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like at the same time, what you're not saying is let people walk all over you and hurt you.
Oh my goodness. People don't walk all over me and hurt me. We agree. It's like if someone says, Katie, it's all your fault. You know, if I attack and start to defend, then I've got an enemy immediately. But if my mind opens to, could they be right? Is it possible that they're right? And if you feel a little rising in your chest and it goes kind of to your throat, you just start to feel that. It just starts to arise. They're right. And you're going into denial. So if you you feel that, let that be the key to your heart. And just open your mind. Is it possible they could be right? So when we look at that, my mind is open to that. You know, I could just say something like, my mind is open to that. It's not my experience, but I'm going to really, you know, look at that. And can you help me out here? Because, you know, I'm not in touch with it. Okay, so rather than an enemy, that's my friend. Anytime, if I see another human being as an enemy, then I am harboring a denial system that's going to hold me back in my job, in my company. I'm not going to grow. If I'm not growing, my company's not growing. Or if my company's growing sooner or later, it's not going to look good on paper. Because what I am, and if my mind's not growing, then how can my company grow? And even if my company grows and I'm not growing, it's not ever enough. And we're always frightened of where it's going in the direction. Confusion, basically, is what I'm saying. Confused mind, confused life.
So what about implied insults? Like when someone says to you, well, I just don't understand why you keep producing your reports with wide margins. And they're not saying that you're doing something wrong, but their tone of voice is really implying that, you know, you shouldn't be using wide margins and you're stupid for using them and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'd say something like, you know, the reason I do this is that it seems right to me, and it's right to my eye and the way I see it. And if it's true for me, I'd say, and I haven't had any complaints. So what are the advantages of doing it another way? Can you show me? Because if you can show me, I'm really open to it.
Aren't you in some way putting yourself in danger by admitting? I mean, what if you're in a situation where someone is criticizing you and they want to use the criticism? Well, let's say that I were running for office, since this is an election year, and someone said, Stever, your economic policy is stupid. And I stopped and said, well, you know, when I think about it, I can see where it would be stupid.
Well, I might not say that. I might say something, unless it's really true, I would say it. But I might say something like, I'm going to take a look at that. You know, if there's something stupid in it, I certainly want to correct it. What do you see that's stupid? I'd really like to know, because you could really sharpen my policy up.
So again, you're not denying it if you don't find it. What you're doing is instead opening up and turning it into a teaching experience where you want to understand why they said that and what they're looking at so that you can then re-look at it yourself to find out if there's truth.
And grow. And my goodness, when our mind is open and we open to people and we just really listen to what they have to say when we're so open to criticism, we come to see that the criticism is not criticism. It just fills our life with what we're missing. And that's unlimited. That means not only are you working for you, but the whole world is working for you. Your children, your spouses, your business associations, everything, everyone in your life, everyone working for you. That's what I like. Everyone is working for me in this world. That's how it works. That's why my growth is never stunted. I'm always being educated.
Now, you also mentioned, when you said the defense was the first act of war, is you said there's no responsibility in defense. And then a couple seconds later, you mentioned if you heard a criticism and you thought that it was true, you might do what it took to make it right.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if I have harmed, let's say, another human being, then and if I haven't done what I have committed to in a situation, it's the same thing. I harm human beings, you know, around me like that, and always myself. So if I'm running around lost, you know, inside of me, running around in circles, and someone comes at me, then they can really open me up to what I've missed.
So if someone says, gee, Katie, you hurt me in a certain way, they're opening you up to the possibility that you did, and then your reaction would be to, if it felt right to you, to make amends or to...
Immediately, upon seeing it, I move to, how can I make it right? Whether I say it or not, I'll say, you know, I see it. So I'm going to do this, this, and this, and why don't we do this, this, and this? I mean, we're into the solution immediately, and there's no gap for resentment. And in another situation, because it depends on the situation, if I've harmed someone or been off in a situation, I can say, okay, you know, I hear you. How can I make it right? But that's when we both know it's on me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and even if they don't know it and I know it's on me, how can I make it right? But, you know, I live that way. You know, how can I make it right? I have to live that way, because living that way doesn't leave a past to deal with. It's all taken care of in the moment, always. No past to have to go back to experience the guilt. You know, it's like living a guiltless life. And if we're not experiencing guilt in our life, we're living in a state of forgiveness. And a state of forgiveness is the position where we can grow, and everything and everyone around us grows. And what's really beautiful is that we're aware of it. But how can I make it right? That's my life, and I certainly invite the world to it. But you know, Steve, we can't make it right if we're in denial about what we did. We're so busy defending it that we continue to recreate it. That's what's meant by we create our own reality. It's like, if I think I'm innocent, then I just have to live like I am, and like I am innocent, and I have to defend it and be at war with anyone that tries to come past that wall. And so many of us wonder, why do I feel so lousy? Why am I depressed? There's no reason for it. Well, you know, those criticisms, be open to them and watch your life shift.
One of the things you're touching on a little bit there is what I'll call a victim mentality, for lack of a better phrase. And we're going through a period at the moment economically where there are a lot of people losing a lot of what they own. They're losing their savings. They're losing their houses. And they will cry, but it's not my fault. It's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did it to me. It's the corporations. It's the politicians. How would you approach that if you were losing your house?
Well, you know, I would go back to the original deal. And I would look to myself to see if I was secure in my job at the time I took out the loan, and I was secure in the amount of in my salary, let's say, the amount of money I'm making that could actually pay that loan off, even if the interest rates went up to 13, 14. And I would look. I wouldn't stop. If I couldn't handle it at 14% interest, that's assuming that I took out one of those five-year loans.
Right.
And, for example. And because it was right there in black and white for any of us that walk that way. And I would look to me, and then I would say, you know, I would just be aware. And, you know, if there's any self-talk at all, it would be, every time my mind went to, they made it too easy for me, they gave it to me, they knew I couldn't pay it, I would just turn it around to, I knew, you know, get real with it. I knew I couldn't pay it. I knew there could be a problem. I knew, you know, and maybe I didn't actually know it, but the dollar didn't add up. And what can I do from here? What can I do from here? And, you know, that opens it up to say, hasn't it been a wonderful 5 years? in this home.
Right.
Yeah.
You did get a beautiful home that was beyond your means for 5 years.
And also, you know, it's wonderful that people know that they can call the whoever has their loan, call them and say, you know, I knew when I made the loan I couldn't pay it. And you know, I had a pretty good idea that would be the case. And I knew interest rates would go up, that potential was there. Or at least that potential was there. And I knew I wouldn't be able in my position to do it. And that's the position I'm in. And how can you help me keep this home? And immediately they see your intention. They see your integrity. And if they're going to shift a loan for someone, it could be you.
Mm-hmm.
But someone bitter and you know, the victim, oh my goodness, I like to say victims are violent people.
Well, they're usually very bitter and defensive in my experience.
Yeah, but I can tell you, I've tried to be a victim, and I just can't. I can't find anything legitimate that would put me in that position. Anytime we're open-minded enough to look to ourselves, that's the end of victimhood.
So one last question. How do you, we've been talking about how you hear criticism. Do you ever criticize others or see something wrong that you would want to make known to them?
No. And if people are open to what I think, and specifically what I think about them or what they've said or done, you know, they're perfectly, I'm perfectly open to that. You know, if they want to know what I think and I believe them, then I'm so free with what I think. I'm so not frightened of it, because I assume, I project that because I love the truth that others do too. But it's not something that it's not something I do. Within my company, I do. I'm very clear, but it's not personal. And people who work for me know that. And we grow. We really grow. We really grow. All of us grow emotionally and financially.
Well, thank you very much, Katie. I appreciate your taking the time. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Or?
You're very welcome. And I just love our time together, Stever. And I am, as always, at your service. Any way that we can play together that could serve anyone.
I would love to. And I'd also like to point out to the people listening that you can find Katie on the web at www.thework.com. Her blog is www.byronkatie.com. And you have an online program now that lets people do the work interactively with the computer?
Mm-hmm. That's on there, too. And I also have a 9-day school that is extremely radical, but that's what's in order these days. And I have a financial capsule that is so dynamite, it just blows people's mind. And you know, it's like we take all of our fear around money madness and we find resolution with it, and it frees us up. And I have a capsule on fear and terror, and one on the body, the physical body, age and dying and death and relationships, and it goes on and on. And I'm there from early morning till late at night, as you know. And it's, you know, there's anyone suffering, you know, there is a way out. You asked me if there's anything I'd like to add. If that would be it. All suffering is optional. And also, the work in its entirety is on the website at thework.com, and anyone with an open mind can do it.
I can vouch for that. I did it on my own for several months before I went to the school, and got tremendous value out of it. You know, the school was more, I wanted a real accelerated, concentrated dose. And boy, was that it was the most life-changing experience I've ever had.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Isn't that amazing? Oh, and you know, I'm in the almost to the end of this month's turnaround house and that 28-day submersion. And oh my goodness. Oh my.
I'm I'm not sure who would come out the other end.
Yeah, you know, it's like a different identity for each one of them all day long, daily. It's quite beautiful to watch.
Well, thank you again.
You are welcome, Stever. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me for this conversation with Byron Katie. You can find out more about Katie and download just about everything in the world, videos and audio files, at www.thework.com. You can find out more about me, Stever Robbins, at the Get It Done Guy podcast, getitdone.quickanddirtytips.com, or at my own website, www.steverrobbins.com. Bye for now.